All right, so today we're going to deep dive into something that I think a lot of folks find really tricky. You know, that whole area where your rights as an employee, workplace rules, and then what happens when you have some health stuff going on. It all gets kind of messy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a real intersection of like personal stuff and legal stuff and work stuff. And yeah, it can definitely get complicated.
So we're going to specifically look at this case, Byrne v. Avon Products.
Yeah.
And the big questions here, just to lay it out for everyone listening, are can your employer fire you for messing up at work for misconduct if that behavior was actually caused by a disability?
Right.
And then what happens if you are just too sick to even ask for medical leave?
Yeah, good questions.
We've got the court documents, some analyses, all sorts of things, and we're going to unpack it all so you really get a solid understanding of what this case means and why it matters for all of us.
Right, because it has implications both for, your rights as an employee and then also what your employer, has to do or shouldn't do.
Exactly. And one thing that's really interesting right off the bat is how this case dealt with two big laws, the ADA and the FMLA. And the court actually came to pretty different conclusions about each one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this case is a really, really good illustration of how the ADA and the FMLA, although they sometimes overlap, they really do have their own separate, rules and boundaries.
Okay, so let's get into the story itself. We've got John Byrne, worked at Avon for 4 years as a night shift engineer. He had a good track record, considered a reliable employee. But then in November 1998, things changed pretty drastically.
Yeah, it sounds like his behavior just took a really sharp turn, started doing some really unusual stuff.
So what was he doing? What was actually happening at work that was so out of the ordinary?
So according to what's in the case, he started disappearing for long stretches during his shifts. And then get this, they actually had security footage showing him sleeping. Yeah. In a break room, specifically, they called it like the carpenter shop or something. But the thing is, it wasn't just a quick nap, right? Like one time, they had him on camera asleep for like 6 hours straight, lights off.
6 hours.
6 hours during his night shift.
That's wild. I mean, that is such a huge change from being, like we said, a model employee.
Yeah.
So what did Avon do when they found out about all this?
Well, first they confronted him about it, obviously. And when they did, Byrne said he was sick. Then on November 16th, he just left work early, said he wouldn't be back for the rest of the week.
Okay.
But there's another piece to this. So his sister actually contacted Avon and told them that Byrne was very sick.
Okay, so there's some like external corroboration that something's not right.
Right, exactly. But even with that, Avon went ahead and scheduled a disciplinary meeting for him,
Okay.
which Byrne didn't show up to. So the very next day, November 17th, Avon fired him. Officially, they said it was for sleeping on the job and missing that meeting.
And I guess this is where things take a really sad turn, right?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just a case of someone goofing off at work. This is more serious.
Oh, yeah. Like, just days after he's fired, Byrne has a full-on mental breakdown. He ends up hospitalized for severe depression. We're talking hallucinations, a suicide attempt. He needed 2 months of intensive treatment.
Wow.
Heavy stuff. And then after he recovered, he tried to get his job back at Avon,
Oh,
but they
wow.
said no. And that's what ultimately led to him suing them.
So the lawsuit itself, right? He went after Avon under both the ADA and the FMLA.
Yep.
But at first, the district court actually sided with Avon. What was their reasoning there? Why did they think Avon was in the right?
Well, their decision basically came down to this pretty standard idea in employment law. It's this idea that, look, if you mess up at work, if you do something wrong, your employer generally has the right to fire you for that, whether or not you've got a disability, right?
Right. Okay.
So they kind of saw Avon's decision as being about Byrne sleeping on the job, not specifically about his mental health.
Okay.
But as we mentioned, when this case went up to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, they didn't completely agree with that initial decision.
Right. And that's where it gets really interesting. So let's unpack how the Seventh Circuit looked at everything,
Yeah.
especially because they treated the ADA claim very differently from the FMLA claim.
Yeah, for sure.
So starting with the ADA, they ended up rejecting Byrne's claim under that law. What was their main logic there?
Well, a big part of it comes down to how the ADA defines a qualified individual.
Right.
Basically, to be protected by the ADA, you have to be able to do the essential parts of your job. And that might mean with some accommodations or maybe not, but you've got to be able to do the job.
Right.
So in Byrne's situation, the court was like, look, he was sleeping for hours on end during his shift. He was clearly not doing what he was hired to do as a night shift engineer.
Right. Makes sense.
And then here's another key point about the ADA, you know, it doesn't give you a free pass to break the rules at work just because you have a disability. Employers still have the right to hold employees accountable for their performance and their behavior. The important thing is, though, that any disciplinary action can't be taken just because of the disability itself.
Gotcha. So the action has to be because of the behavior, not the underlying condition.
Exactly.
And what about this whole idea of reasonable accommodation under the ADA?
Hmm.
Could Byrne have argued that Avon should have accommodated his depression by giving him, like, a really long leave of absence?
That's a good question. And the court actually addressed that head on. They basically said no. Like, a long leave of absence, you know, being away from work for a really significant chunk of time, that usually doesn't count as a reasonable accommodation under the ADA.
It's interesting.
And the reasoning there is pretty straightforward. They said, well, if you can't work for months, you're obviously not able to actually do your job during that time. And the whole point of the ADA is to help people with disabilities be able to work, not to excuse them from working entirely for a long time. They actually said pretty explicitly, the court did, inability to work for a multi-month period removes a person from the class protected by the ADA. So it's about being able to work now, not taking a really extended time off.
So the ADA is focused on how can you do your job, maybe with some help, but ultimately being able to do it. All right, so then let's turn to the FMLA claim. This is the one where Byrne actually had some success, at least with the Seventh Circuit.
Yeah.
What were the big legal ideas that they focused on here?
All right, so the FMLA, just to remind everyone, it lets eligible employees take up to 12 weeks off, unpaid, if they have a serious health issue. In Byrne's case, he never actually filled out any paperwork or anything, never officially asked for FMLA leave.
Okay.
But the Seventh Circuit, they brought up this really important concept called constructive notice.
Okay, I've heard of that.
They basically said, look, Byrne's behavior changed so drastically, so suddenly. You know, he was sleeping for 6 hours on a shift. He had said he was ill. His sister had called saying he was very sick. They said all that together. Avon should have realized something serious was going on. They should have looked into whether Byrne needed medical leave, whether he qualified for FMLA.
So even though Byrne didn't specifically say, hey, I need to take FMLA leave,
mm-hmm.
his behavior itself should have been a red flag for Avon.
Exactly. And the court actually used pretty strong language here. They said, it is not beyond the bounds of reasonableness to treat a dramatic change in behavior as notice of a medical problem.
Hmm. Interesting.
So that puts some responsibility on employers, right? Like, they can't just ignore these really obvious signs that something's wrong with their employee. They can't just wait for the employee to come to them with an official request. They've got to be proactive and see if maybe this person needs FMLA leave. Because if they don't, and it turns out the employee did qualify for FMLA, the employer could get in legal trouble.
So basically, if an employee starts acting really differently all of a sudden, employers need to pay attention and think, hey, maybe this is a health issue. Maybe they need FMLA.
Exactly.
And what about the fact that Byrne was really struggling, right? He was dealing with severe depression. Did the court talk about whether he was even mentally capable of asking for leave at that point?
Oh, yeah, they definitely did. And this is another really important part of their reasoning. So the FMLA actually has these exceptions built in. Like, if you are so sick or injured that you literally can't tell your employer you need leave, you're not automatically disqualified from taking FMLA. And the court was like, look, Byrne's depression was really serious. It's entirely possible he was simply too ill to tell Avon what was going on and ask for leave. And if that's the case, then Avon still had an obligation to give him leave, even without a formal request. They actually pointed out that the lower court, the first one, they messed up by not really looking into whether Byrne's last 2 weeks of work, those weeks where he was acting erratically, whether those should have been classified as FMLA leave from the start.
Wow.
They even said if a person with major depression could not have told his employer about the problem and requested leave, the notice was not feasible and was unnecessary, even if the change in behavior was not enough to alert Avon to a need for medical leave.
So they're basically saying even if you are so sick that you can't say, I need FMLA,
right,
the law might still protect you. Your employer can't just say, well, they didn't ask, so too bad.
Right, exactly. Because at the end of the day, the FMLA is there to protect employees who are facing serious health issues. And sometimes those very health issues are what prevent them from asking for the protection they're entitled to. So the court here is saying employers have to be aware of that and be willing to step up and do their part, even if the employee can't.
That's a really important point. But so ultimately, what happened? What was the final decision from the Seventh Circuit in this Byrne v. Avon case?
They basically overturned what the lower court had decided.
Okay.
And they sent the case back down to the lower court with instructions to look at a few specific things.
Like what?
So first, they wanted the lower court to decide whether Byrne's change in behavior was enough to give Avon constructive notice that he needed FMLA leave.
Right, like we were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And then second, they said the lower court needs to figure out whether Byrne was actually too sick mentally to tell Avon he needed leave. And then finally, they said, look into whether Byrne's last couple weeks at work should have been considered FMLA leave all along, and if that would have changed Avon's decision to fire him.
So they sent it back down with a lot of homework for the lower court.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, so backing up a little bit, what are the big takeaways here? What should people really understand about the ADA, the FMLA, and how this all relates to workplace conduct?
Well, one really important point is that the ADA doesn't give employees a free pass to behave however they want at work just because they have a disability.
Right.
Employers can still discipline employees who aren't meeting performance standards or breaking workplace rules as long as they're not doing it only because of the disability.
Right, like we were talking about before. Yeah. Okay, so that's the ADA side. What about the FMLA?
On the FMLA side, the big lesson here is that employers have a real responsibility to recognize when an employee's behavior might be signaling a serious health problem. Like if someone suddenly starts acting totally different, their performance tanks, they're doing things that are out of character, employers can't just ignore it.
Right.
They need to consider whether this might be a sign that the employee needs FMLA leave. If they just brush it off and it turns out the employee was eligible for FMLA, they could be in big trouble legally.
So employers really need to be paying attention to those red flags.
Absolutely.
This case is a good reminder of how complicated it can get when you're dealing with employee rights, workplace rules, and health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
What are your final thoughts for our listeners? What should they really take away from all this?
Well, I think this case really shows how important it is for both employers and employees to understand what the ADA and the FMLA actually say. For employers, it's a reminder that you can't just ignore signs that an employee might be having a serious health issue. If someone's behavior changes drastically, you need to look into it. You might have a legal obligation to figure out if they need FMLA leave.
Right.
And for employees, I think the takeaway is this. If you're dealing with a health condition that makes it hard to work, you need to know your rights. The ADA might help you get accommodations so you can keep working. And if you need to take time off, the FMLA might protect your job. But it's on you to know what those laws say and how they apply to your situation. Don't wait until it's too late.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's all about knowing your rights and responsibilities, both as an employee and as an employer. Really great insights today. For everyone listening, if you want to dig into the Byrne v. Avon case yourself or learn more about these topics, we'll be sure to link to all the resources in the show notes. And as you go about your week, think about this. What are some practical things employers can do to make sure they're respecting employee rights and following the law while also making sure their businesses can run smoothly? It's a tough balance, but it's one we all have to think about. Thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.